The Deep by Ali Kennan.
What are you doing?
The Doctor found Nyssa kneeling in a subchamber of the TARDIS holding a soldering iron.
You've been messing around down here for ages.
Nyssa pushed her hair out of her face and smiled up at him.
I think I fixed it,
she announced. The Doctor gave her a worried look and squatted down to investigate the panels of loops and wires. He nearly slipped on a jelly-like substance which spilled from a thick yellow tube.
But this is the chameleon circuitry.
He frowned.
Nyssa, I thought you'd be pleased,
she said, not looking him in the eye.
All this time I've been travelling with you, the TARDIS has been fixed in the same old shape. You told me that before the circuit was broken, the TARDIS would change to fit in with its environment. What's wrong with the police box?
Asked the Doctor, examining her handiwork.
And what makes you think you could possibly mend it? The mechanics of the cloaking device are well beyond anyone who isn't from Gallifrey. How did you know what to do? You didn't even borrow my manual.
Nyssa sat back on her haunches and smiled.
I used my brain,
she said.
You shouldn't interfere with the TARDIS,
the Doctor said reproachfully. But he was finding it hard to hide his excitement as he traced the coils and components in the panel, trying to follow what she had done.
I know,
said Nyssa.
But I have.
She touched his sleeve.
Where should we go?
The Doctor looked at her. If Nyssa had made a mistake, the results might be catastrophic. The TARDIS was old and worn and unpredictable, but Nyssa had a brilliant mind. She may have pulled it off. He checked some of the switches, tidied up a couple of wires, then stood, breathed in and straightened his jacket. What was the worst that could happen? Nyssa gave him an encouraging nod.
Let's see,
he said.
If we were to go to Earth and arrive in a desert, the TARDIS might become a rock or a cactus.
The Doctor helped Nyssa to her feet. He unscrewed the hatch to the console room and began to climb the metal ladder.
If we arrived in Antarctica, it might become an iceberg.
The Doctor was excited now.
If we materialized in a restaurant, it might turn us into lunch,
smiled Nyssa.
Quiet,
said the Doctor, and led the way back to the console room.
Should we start with something simple?
Nyssa sounded a little concerned.
This is the perfect test,
replied the Doctor. He began to set a large dial in a phosphorescent screen. He swung round and clicked a low switch in the opposite wall.
Somewhere you'd never find a police public call box or even a telephone.
It doesn't sound like we're going somewhere simple, said Nyssa warily, wondering if she had done the right thing. The Doctor tended to thrive in extreme circumstances. She'd hoped that fixing the circuit would make their travels safer, but the Doctor seemed to have other ideas.
No, Nyssa, said the Doctor. We're going to dive into the depths of planet Earth.
He slapped the console and pushed a heavy lever. His eyes gleamed. The TARDIS began to shudder violently, and Nyssa backed against the wall. A loud crashing noise erupted as the Doctor hung on to the console.
Maybe you should have checked my work,
yelled Nyssa.
I did,
called back the Doctor.
Sort of.
An almighty screeching made Nyssa clamp her hands over her ears as the room darkened.
We're transforming,
shouted the Doctor above the din. Beneath his feet, the ground seemed to become wet and slippery.
But isn't it only the outside which is supposed to change?
Screamed Nyssa.
Something stinks.
The lever she was holding onto had completely disappeared. Her hand just slid off the wall.
What's happening?
She cried as a booming sound grew in her ears, accompanied by ear-splitting groans and moans.
I think we can say the circuit needs some further adjustment,
gasped the Doctor as the console flowed away under him and he fell into a soft, wet cushion of some spongy, foul-smelling substance.
The roof!
Cried Nyssa, as the ceiling seemed to cave in and bend itself around them. Cried the Doctor. He threw himself in her direction, though she was just a shadowy blur.
Take my hand!
Nyssa flung herself towards him and grabbed him round the waist as the last bits of the console room melted into a dark, soft mass.
I've broken it!
Wailed Nyssa.
I think you should have read the manual after all,
panted the Doctor, searching for an escape. Another wail crushed their ears.
Hold your breath,
he advised, as a rush of cold, salty water flooded over them, knocking them over. The Doctor clung on to his friend as, with a huge rush, they were propelled in a mighty current and shot out of the darkness into a vast expanse of deep, deep blue. The doctor saw a look of utter fear cross Nyssa's features as she opened her eyes and looked around, unsure which way was up. They were sinking in deep seawater. To one side, she saw a lighter, brighter area, which she guessed must be the surface. She righted herself and kicked up as hard as she could. The pressure in her chest and ears was incredible, and all the while, the wailing noise continued. As they swam, something immense moved towards them. A vast, dark shape swimming steadily upwards. As the pair broke the surface, gasping for breath, a huge grey bat humped out of the water close by and slid back down again, creating billowing waves which carried the Doctor and Nyssa high up into the sky and down again. The air was warm on their faces as a large tail thumped the water.
I can't believe it,
spluttered the Doctor, frantically treading water. Nyssa said nothing. She was using all her energy to stay afloat, and her mouth was full of water. The Doctor watched the beast slide down into the deep below him.
There goes my TARDIS,
he gasped.
There goes my shoe,
wailed Nyssa.
What are we going to do? Take the other one off and swim,
shouted the Doctor. Another big wave swept them up, and in the distance, he saw a strip of grey land. The beach was strewn with driftwood and rubbish. Nyssa sat on an old tyre perished by salt water and idly watched the Doctor pace over the sand. Seabirds wheeled around them. There was no sign of any humans or even extraterrestrials. They were alone.
Sorry,
said Nyssa, wringing out her hair.
That didn't go as planned.
My fault, said the Doctor. I got rather carried away.
He stood and shielded his eyes against the sun, looking out to sea.
Where has she gone?
He murmured.
But what happened?
Asked Nyssa.
The TARDIS changed into a whale,
said the Doctor.
But not just on the outside. All of it changed. That's a real whale out there.
He paused.
Though it is bigger than most and may possess certain throwbacks.
Throwbacks?
Like humans have tailbones, that whale may have hidden evolutionary matter.
Like what?
Nyssa was still confused.
Like traces of my biological imprint or defunct features of the TARDIS.
He sighed.
You know, Nyssa, the TARDIS wouldn't spit us out like that. Not unless something was very, very wrong.
But does the TARDIS exist anymore?
Asked Nyssa.
Not in this dimension.
That's a pity,
said Nyssa.
Because I'm hungry and wet and cold.
She looked around her at the shingle and the rocks. As far as she could tell, nobody lived on this island. They were stranded.
We'll have to go fishing, she said.
The Doctor took his eyes from the horizon and looked at her attempted smile.
That's it,
he said.
You are a clever girl.
You weren't thinking that 5 minutes ago,
muttered Nyssa.
Listen,
said the Doctor.
A TARDIS has changed into a whale and swum away, correct?
Unlikely but true,
said Nyssa, wondering where this was leading.
What do whales eat?
Asked the Doctor, picking a strand of seaweed from Nyssa's head.
Fish,
suggested Nyssa.
Krill,
said the Doctor.
We've got to get to the whale before it eats any krill. Until then, it's still using up power from the TARDIS. It still has a link.
And what if we don't reach it in time?
Asked Nyssa nervously.
It will be the Earth's biggest whale. An escaped mutated TARDIS with a new aquatic brain.
Look,
said Nyssa, pointing out to sea. A huge plume of water spouted up on the horizon. As they watched, a second fountain erupted close by. The Doctor's eyes widened, and he looked at Nyssa in horror.
What now?
She asked.
When do whales breed?
He asked, trying to sound offhand.
That's one piece of information I'm not aware of,
said Nyssa.
But it's not going to breed. It's one of a kind, isn't it?
I don't know,
said the Doctor.
But if it did successfully manage to mate with another large cetacean, then there might begin a new species of enormous intelligent life forms on Earth.
The Doctor paused.
Possibly also having the potential to transcend time and travel through space.
Let's hope they're like humans,
said Nyssa, peering out to sea at the churning water.
Yes,
said the Doctor distractedly.
Let's hope so.
He pounced on something sticking out of the sand.
We'll need this,
he said, and pulled out a metal tube. Nyssa guessed it was the broken-off leg of a garden chair.
And I'll need your wheel, I'm afraid,
he said apologetically. Nyssa rose, stretching her stiff legs. What could the Doctor possibly have in mind?
She watched as he began to jump up and down on the spot.
Exercise, he said. Gets the heart beating.
After a minute or so, the doctor was breathing hard.
Come on,
he said. And picking up the wheel and the metal tube, he raced into the sea, wading until the water reached his waist. Nyssa followed, shivering.
Right, listen,
panted the doctor as the sea washed around them.
The TARDIS and I are symbiotically linked. That whale ought to have some kind of memory of me, no matter how faint. We need to draw it close and I need to connect with it in order for it to remember it is my spacecraft and not a whale.
Nyssa looked doubtful. With a tire? She asked.
I don't know if it'll work, but it's the only thing I have, and we have to work fast before either A, the ingestion of krill, or B,
whale love, said Nyssa. said the doctor.
Would you mind having a listen?
He said awkwardly. He pointed to his chest.
I need you to listen to my heartbeat. We need to replicate the rhythm underwater, and I'm hoping the whale will recognize it.
Because whales communicate by sonar, added Nyssa.
And we may tempt it closer,
said the doctor, watching as two plumes of salt water simultaneously filled the sky.
But from the look of it, we have to be quick.
Nyssa pressed her ear against the doctor's chest. She could hear both of his hearts hammering. She beat the time in the air, and the doctor copied the rhythm underwater, pounding the tire with the tube as hard as he could. On and on he worked. Nyssa drew away and looked out to sea. She blinked. Far on the horizon, another whale was blowing. Then, a little to the left, another, and behind that one, another. Before Nyssa's eyes, the sea became full of whales, blowing and breaking the surface, swirling and churning the water.
Oh, doctor,
she cried. The whales were getting closer.
We only want one.
She felt a flood of alarm at the sight of all these mighty creatures making their way to the island.
The TARDIS must have changed into a whale because there were lots of them about,
shouted the doctor, still belting out his heartbeat.
I think my little broadcast has been a bit too successful. I've interfered with their communication. Now I'm going to be responsible for a mass beaching. But which one is the TARDIS?
Said Nyssa.
And what are you going to do when it gets here?
The doctor looked up as the sea darkened.
Did you know a man could swim down the aorta of a blue whale?
Called the doctor. He stopped drumming and looked through his binoculars at the massive creatures migrating shorewards.
Why would he want to do that?
Asked Nyssa.
To reach its heart, he replied. There's our one, look. The one with a blue lump on its head.
They watched as a large grey-blue head rose from the water. Nyssa caught her breath at the size of the thing.
Come on,
said the doctor, seizing a hand.
We mustn't lose it again. I don't know how long we've got, and we have to make contact. I'm not good at swimming,
stammered Nyssa as they waded deeper and deeper into the ocean. The water was up to her chest now. The doctor looked at the rolling body tunneling through the water to shore.
I need to get inside,
he called.
But you'll be crushed,
cried Nyssa, worried she might be too.
Here it comes,
he shouted and dragged her aside as, with the next breaker, the mighty whale crashed into the shallow water.
It's warning the others off,
cried Nyssa, watching as the rest of the whale started heading back out to sea. The shallows were boiling and swirling as the mighty creature moved forward. The doctor struggled through the water towards it.
The only connection,
said the doctor, diving towards its gaping mouth,
is through me!
He vanished into the foam. Nyssa started fighting her way back to shore as the whale got closer and closer. She shut her eyes in horror, but at that moment, the whale seemed to fall into her. It pushed her and she fell over, getting a face full of grit and salt water. Then she felt herself being dragged through the sand onto a smooth surface. She wiped the sand out of her eyes. She sensed a change in the air. She felt warm. She opened her eyes and saw she was back in the console room, only she was wet, cold, and barefoot.
We had a heart-to-heart,
said the doctor. He patted the TARDIS walls.
Thanks for recognizing me. What about the chameleon circuit?
Gasped Nyssa.
I think we can safely say it is still very much broken,
said the doctor.
Now let's see about getting some lunch, shall we?